Welcome to Reconciled Church Miami, Pastor Aldo Leon.
Let me read the text. I'm going to be in Psalms 48. I wanted to close with a sermon on the church specifically, given like we are having church movements and church adjustments. Psalms 48 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded, and they were in panic, and they took flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as a woman in labor. By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple, as your name, O God, so reaches praises to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk around Zion, go around her and number her towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God. Our God forever and ever will guide us. He will guide us forever." So I was thinking, like, how could I convey things that would help us understand who we are now and who we are going to be in the next weeks? And what I want to do is to talk about the church in a way that's not reconcile specific or Pineland specific, but just text Bible specific. What is a church? I was talking to Adrian. You might not know who Adrian is, but I was talking to this person named Adrian who comes here every other week because he's a firefighter. So if you don't see him here, he's saving lives in his emergency vehicle. And we were talking about how the way Christians have been processing church in these ages, and they've been saying things like, well, the church is not really a meeting. The church is just us wherever we are in the name of Jesus. Oh, sounds so nice. You know, the church is not a building, which is true, but the church is an assembly. But anyways, or what else we were talking about is how churches have not had an assembly for 6-7 months, but they have had assemblies to give out food. So they gathered tons of people to give out food, or they gathered a bunch of people to go on a march, or they gathered a bunch of people to do, corona tests. And so we're hearing a lot of things that may be confusing to us, like reconcile is closing. What is reconcile? And how does that fit with Pinelands? And we're hearing that, you know, church is not this or it's that. Church is just you, you know, in your heart with Jesus, wherever you are. Or church is just a bunch of Christians doing good things in the community, like get a whole bunch of people together to give them food and whatnot. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things in themselves, but I want to open up here and give you clearly as we move on is, what is a church? What is a church? What are we about? As the scriptures would say. And the Psalms, believe it or not, are really good texts about what a church is. So here's the first thing I want to say about as we process church. Who are we? Reconcile as we go to Pinelands. Who are we in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of all the weird views of church that are kind of like being spread? Who are we? First of all, I want to say that the church is the place to be. The church is the place to be. Look what it says. The Lord is great and highly praised. Where? In the city of our God, his holy mountain, Mount Zion. So you say, what is a Mount Zion? What is that? Like, are we gonna hang out God with a mountain? No. Well, Mount Zion, it actually was a mountain, but it really just represented where God is hanging out with his people in covenant fellowship. Mount Zion is where God is hanging out with his collective people in covenant fellowship. So the whole nation of Israel would go to Mount Zion together to meet with God in the temple. And so what God is saying that, listen, in the whole earth, there is this place that you should be. And that place, the joy of all the earth, it says, is Mount Zion, where God is meeting with his assembly through his gracious making himself known means. Mount Zion is the place to be. It's the place to meet God. And guess where it's not? And I'm going to probably step on your toes a little bit. It's not in your quiet time and devotions. You say, wait a second. I don't meet with God in those moments. Yes, you do. But that is not Mount Zion. That is not where He's greatly and most highly praised. It's not in your podcasts and your, you know, recorded messages, as good as they are. It's not in your heart. I remember talking to a girl that I haven't seen and reconciled in years. I said, "How you doing? How are you and the Lord doing?" She said, "Oh, he's in my heart." You know, that's not Mount Zion. That's not the place to be in your heart. The place to be is where God is meeting with his people assembled in his name, according to this text. We don't look for God in the Seminole Theater. We don't look for God at Kim's house. We don't look for God necessarily at Pinelands Presbyterian's facilities. We look for God wherever he is making himself known with his gathered people. And you know what's interesting about this? It says that Mount Zion is a place where I'm hanging out with my folks. Now, you know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say Mount Sinai. So Mount Sinai is another mountain in the Bible. And you know what happened when God shows up on Mount Sinai? He says, "Look, I got the commandments. And if you do your part, I won't kick you out." And guess what happens when God's people get the commandments to see if they can make their part of the deal and stay in the land? What happens? They get kicked out a million times. And by the time Jesus comes on the scene, they're in exile under Roman oppression, even though they are in the land. So God is saying, "Listen, you know where I hang out my people? I hang out my people on Mount Zion, where I relate to my people based upon me meeting the conditions to relate to them." Okay? Mount Zion is a place not where God is coming to collect a rent check to see if you can hang out another month. It's where he pays the rent for the rest of your life and you live in him in fellowship because he paid all the bills through his son's 33 years of righteousness. Mount Zion is where we're connecting with God. Mount Zion is not the websites that have all of the homes away from home. What is it called? B&B, okay? Listen, you can hang out in the Airbnb so far as you keep paying. That's not where God is saying you are coming to be with me. It is Mount Zion. It's more like grandma's house where you can stay there as long as you want because you ain't paying the bills to stay there. Mount Zion, the place where I relate to my people unconditionally for my own sake, that's where we will be together. This is the place to be where I hang out with you, not because of you, but because of me, God is saying. That's a church. It has nothing to do with all the other things that people say. And what I'm going to do in this sermon is just connect names to these points. I'm going to connect names to these points. So listen, some of you may say, "I wasn't named." Listen, if every adult member shows up, there's like 40 names. And if all the kids, it's about 60. I'm not going to name everybody. So don't take it personal, okay? If I don't name you, as I name names, don't take it personal because I'm not going to name 50 people. Is that all right? This has been the place to be for so many of you. Whether it was Jesse going through divorce, you know where the place to be was? It was right here. Whether it was all of you in the midst of Corona, a lot of you were not going anywhere, but guess where you were? You were here in Mount Zion. The place to be. Or even Maria. Maria, she used to not be able to be here on a weekly basis. And she's like, "I'm going to find a job so I can be here because this is the place to be." Or there's a guy who's a member of our church named Pete. You've never met him. He's in prison. He's one of our members who is our member in prison. And he's like, "This prison is the worst prison ever in the state of Florida. But I don't got reconciled if I go to some other prison. So I'm going to be in this whack prison because the place to be is Mount Zion, where the covenant people are gathered by God's one-way promises." So he's over there, hopefully still. This is the place to be. Or Santiago with cancer. I'm like, "Santiago, I respect it during pandemic and cancer and chemo. You know, like, you keep your space." He's like, "This is where I gotta be. This is Mount Zion. The place to be is where God is collecting his people by one-way promises over and over and over again. You can't do that by yourself. Cannot do that by yourself. It's the place to be. Number two, I want to talk about the center of this place. The center of this place. It says God is known as a stronghold in its citadels. So the citadels are, if you were to go to Jerusalem, you would see these towers and these structures that were for military protection. So what God is saying that, listen, God is the protection in Mount Zion. So when you see these protective structures, that's not really what protects Mount Zion. What protects Mount Zion is God himself. God is the one who secures us. God doesn't bring security. God is the security. Very different. He doesn't bring security. Mount Zion is secured. God himself is known as the stronghold. So the security in this place is not where we meet. It's not what it looks like structurally. It is not what's going on in society. Security is God himself. He is the citadel in the city of God. He is the security. It's God. Let me tell you something. The qualities of us who are here is not the security. The CDC is not secured, is not security for the church. I'm sorry, as many Christians want to think so. It's not the security, it's God. The government is not our security. How great we are at theologizing is not even our security. Some of you think that you are right because you know theology. Guess what? The God of theology secures you, not your theologizing. Some of you think that we're good because you're physically healthy or you got your finances right. But in the city of God, God is a stronghold, not our finances, not how many of us, not our appearances, not our bylaws. We got this bylaws in the PCA called the Book of Church Order. It is not our vision statements, nothing, not even, listen, your close friends that are here is not your security. God himself is the security, which means that nothing else that people try to secure us with will work. Listen, if God is the security, then we don't come here to get nice, positive emotions and psychologizing to boost our self-esteem. We come here to hide in God himself as a security. If God is security, we're not just coming here to get interesting messages, to get smarter and get more, effective in life. We are coming here because we're all a bunch of cowering, little, weak, sinful kids that are hiding under this big tower, this big security that is God's shadow over us. That's why we come here. We're not here to be social, beloved, as much as we are social. We're not here to volunteer as much as we volunteer. We're not here for those things. We are here to hide in the tower of God himself. That's why we are here. We're not here to become mobilized in the world as activists. That's not church. Church is where a bunch of people who cannot act by themselves are hiding under the shadow of God himself in Christ. Himself. When you think church, think that there's a fortress in this church that you got to hide in, and it's God. It's not how you feel about God. It's not what you even think about God. It's not in what you opinionize about God. It is God himself, by himself, which is a stronghold. People tell me, like, I don't feel that God loves me. Guess what? It doesn't matter. You're not secure by God's love because you feel it. You feel it. You're secure by God's love because he is a loving God, whether you feel it or not. Why? Because in this place, God is the stronghold. He is, and he has no other helpers to stronghold us in his grace. God himself, by himself, nobody else. And you know what? I've seen you guys truly be here in a way where you say, God himself is a stronghold. I remember when we became Presbyterian, we started baptizing kids. Santi was like, I ain't with that, man. But guess what? I need Jesus. And since Christ is being preached here in a very stronghold way, I'm going to tolerate you guys putting water on them kids. Because God is a stronghold, not your nuances of baptism. Once, Elion and Jennifer, they're not here. I think Elion's working or something. They came to reconcile one time as first-time guests in that big old theater. And it was one of those days where there's like 10 people in the front. It just looks wrong. It looks wrong, right? And then there's nobody there. And they take their kids to kids ministry. And the kids are doing kids ministry in acting closets. The closets for the actors, that's where they would meet. And you know why they came back and they're still here? Because I heard God as a stronghold, as the tower of security, and that's why we're here. And that's why we're driving from Coral Gables, because we have not heard that very often in many places. Or you talk about people like Tanya and Caro and Patrick, all have similar anxious issues. And so I spent my whole life trying to engage God that made me the stronghold. Try more, do more, feel more. And I am here because for the first time in my life, I know that it is all about being under as a cowardly, small, weak person. I know it's all about the supremacy of God as a stronghold. And this is my security. It's no longer all this self-help. You can do it and be the stronghold Christianity. It is a stronghold. It has been the stronghold for all of us. For all of us. God is known as a stronghold and its citadels. But here's another point. What is a church? Number one, it's a place to be. Number two, it's a place where God himself is the center. Number three, I want to talk about the narrative of the place. So what goes on in this place? Look, the kings assembled. They advanced together. They looked and froze with fear. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. Agony like that of a woman in labor as you wreck the ships of Tarshish with the east wind. Now you say, what is that? Okay, there was a time in the time of Kings where enemies came after God's people with a navy of ships. And guess what God does? He brings a wind and he just destroys all the boats. He brings a wind and he destroys all the boats. So basically, the devil tried to take the people of God out, and God took the enemies out without God's people helping at all. So what is going on in this place? Guess what? Satan comes with his modern day ships to take us out, and God knocks all of those boats by himself without our help. So we're, you know, like the Egyptians, like, oh my gosh, those dudes with the armor are going to kill us. What's going to happen? God's like, just sit there. Just sit there and do nothing and walk through and I will drown them. Or the nation of Assyria comes and a massive imperial army at the gates of Israel. What are we going to do, people of God? And guess what happens? God kills them all in an instant overnight through the angel of the Lord. So this is a place where Satan assaults us with all sorts of ways. He comes at us and he puts us in places that we cannot resolve. And you know what happens? God fixes it by himself as we watch and wait on him. Listen, when the church starts thinking that we are a bunch of vigilantes that can fight with the enemy and, you know, let's go out to the ocean and let's go throw some rocks and some of our own cannons at the ships of Tarshish. You know what happens? It doesn't work and we compromise. And beloved, let me tell you something. All of us have seen this at Reconciled Church a million times. We have seen God put us, allow us to be in situations where the adversary comes at us and we don't seem to have any solution, and yet God wrecks the modern day ships of Tarshish. Want to revisit some of these things that happened to us? The first month we open up, we have a person come into our sanctuary and say, I'm going to kill everybody. When a church plant opens, here's what happens when church plants opens. People think that church plants are places for people that would not have leadership anywhere and just want to be first to come and be a leader. So in the first year, we had a lot of people that were trying to come in to reconcile because they really wanted to be first. And we dealt with that and we were attacked by that. And then we, getting real personal here, this is a personal church message, very personal. We moved out of the SBC into the PCA. And basically, let me summarize what happened. They said, we're going to end your church because of what you did. Is that what happened? Yes. You're finished. Money gone. All sorts of gone, gone, gone. And we sat there with money problems and people problems and just exits and pandemic and all sorts of stuff. And even me, man, like so many nights where I can't sleep for I don't know what, having anxiety attacks while I'm preaching, my face falls off and I'm like talking like this. We have been in so many situations that we cannot manage collectively and smallly. And you know what? God has shown up every time without our help. God has shown up every time without our help. And I want to remind you that, beloved, because when we go, what's going to happen? And what's, you know, is it going to be difficult? It's going to be hard. You know, are we going to be, you know, what's going to happen? Listen, God wrecks the ships of Tarshish by himself, and he's done that. This is what a church is. God shows up when we are overwhelmed and drowning, and he shows up when he wants to, and he flosses with his mighty, powerful sovereignty, and we say, thank you. You didn't need our help. That is a narrative of this place. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever happens, corona, pandemic, whoever is a presidential office, this is a place where God does what he does and he needs none of our help. And we can rest in that. This is also a place that is permanent. Has a permanence. And I don't mean reconcile necessarily specifically, but I'm saying the church. Reconcile may close, it may open. Pinelands may close, it may open. But the church, look what it says. I'm trying to keep my notes from flying away. Just as we have heard, so we have seen in the city of Yahweh our hopes, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. This thing, God's assembly, guess what? It's the only thing that will always exist no matter what happens. Listen, I think we don't realize it, but the world is going to end someday, okay? And you know what's going to remain? The church. That's it. So listen, because God made this thing, it will never stop to exist. Because everything else is made by humans, it will cease to exist. Listen, the church is not a Tower of Babel where all of us are being really creative and how to make our way to God. You know what the Tower of Babel is? It's a glorified kid's sandcastle that goes really high and falls anyway. But Mount Zion is built by God himself. And because he builds it, he protects it, he sustains it, it will last forever. It's not dependent upon people. And we as people, we need a sense of longevity, don't we? We need a sense of permanence. This is why all of you are anxious who are renters, maybe not all of you, but many of you, to be homeowners, because there's a sense of permanence there. It's why many of you have been in relationships in the past that were way too long because you are more scared of a relationship ending than the actual badness going on in the relationship. We have this need for permanence. We have this need for stability. And what God is saying, listen, the stability that we need is in Mount Zion where God is showing up to be with his people in the assembly. This is the permanent place that will never, ever cease. We can have lots of members or little members. It will still be permanent. We can have lots of money or no money. We can still be permanent. We could be in pandemic where the percentages are 0.0 whatever or 0.20. God's thing will last forever. Why? Because God built it. And because he built it, he will never let it go. He will never stop protecting it. This church can, there can be people who leave and people who come. There can be people who move and people who stay. We can be persecuted because of a certain government. Guess what? We will always be here because God made this thing. And he will protect it to the end. Listen, I don't care. If Saddam Hussein and Hitler were revived from the dead and became presidents of this country, it would not do one thing to stop what we do. Why? Because God is a stronghold and God makes permanent his covenant people. And when he says the gates of hell will not prevail, it includes that. You want permanence? You want stability? You want security? You want longevity? Then it's here in Mount Zion where God is with his covenant people assembled by grace. By grace. And beloved, I've seen you guys experience this place as your permanent, with a sense of permanence. So Cato and Jesse, they have this thing in their head. Is Cato here now? Hey! I can't call you out when you're not here. Cato and Jesse, they wanted to move to somewhere else in the country, and they went to here, went to there, visited this, just, they had it in their mind, they're going to move. And you know why they ended up staying here? Because we could not find a church that resembled Reconcile. Why? Because their sense of permanence came from a gospel community and not a nice area to live in. Now, they probably could have found something if they looked longer, but they just didn't. But the point is, this was a sense of permanence for them. Why does Chris drive here from Alapata still? Why does John and Marilyn drive here? Those are my parents. Why are they driving from Fort Lauderdale? Because there's a sense of permanence and stability when the gospel is at the center of a people. Even just us going from a living room and going to a Lutheran church at night and then going to a theater and then going to a backyard and then going to Pinelands, it doesn't matter because the permanence of this thing, it goes through all of the changes. Even us, beloved, like we came here from LA and we stayed here and we're still staying here. And we have been around we've been around moving. And here, the reason why we stayed in Miami is not because Miami's a great place to live. Okay? What really got us stuck here is the covenant community that we got rooted with stabilizes us to want to be here long term no matter what. It's the permanence of God's people. It's not the permanence of things around or situations or weather. Oh, great pay and low. No, it's not that. It's the permanence of the covenant people of God. That's what gripped us. That's why we're here. Otherwise, we'd go back to LA. We go back to LA if it was for just living situations, okay? No offense to Miami. We would go back to LA. But because the permanence is the people themselves, we felt this to be home. Well, another example of this is Drew. Drew, before his family was even here, he was looking for churches. Why? You don't even have a house yet, right? Okay, just a second. Why are you looking for churches? Because the permanence where you're at is a church. It's not your residence. It's not your zip code. It's not your backyard. It's a church. Why are we meeting in their house every Sunday? Because the church is more permanent than this place. Otherwise, I don't know why they would do that. Why would you have your house ransacked by 50, Miami people almost every Sunday? Because the permanence of God's thing permeates over every single thing in our lives. It hangs over it. This has been a place of permanence for us. I have two more points while I continue to lose every ounce of water I take. The activity of the place. So what goes on here? What happens? Look at verse 9. God, within your temple, we contemplate your faithful love. Your name, God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with justice. Mount Zion is glad. The towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgment. So basically, the temple is where God's people are meeting with him through grace. So the temple is now us in Christ under the preached word and the signs. So the place that we experience God is a temple. But what do we focus on? It says we focus on your faithful love. We contemplate. So we come here to what? To really swim in, really experience, really encounter the faithful promises of a one-way God. That's what we do in this place. Your right hand. So we come here to understand about God's power and ability and not to be encouraged about all the things that we can be doing. It is your right hand that we come. It is your judgments, his actions in history that we come here to encounter. The actions of the incarnation and the life of Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. The action of his ascension, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. So we come here, beloved, to regularly re-experience the power of God's gracious promises, power, and actions. Listen, look how many times it says you're in this text. Your temple, your love, your name, your praise, your right hand, your judgment. You see a pattern there? What's missing from that? You, me, you. We come here because this is a big old you. Look, I'm trying to explain to people when they come a lot of times to a members class. I'm like, wow, what is a Presbyterian? And you say covenant theology, what is that? I don't understand. Like, okay, let me break it down to you. Okay, here's what it is. Covenant theology and Reformed theology. And the ministry of the church is kind of like this. There's two kinds of ways you could see a baseball diamond. You could see yourself as on the mound and God is pitching to you pitches and God is your batting coach saying swing, help, no, lower, higher. That's one way to see a baseball diamond and I have that being illustrated in the church. So church is a place where God is empowering us to knock it out of the park for Jesus and then do a victory lap. Another way of looking at church is, this is my last sermon, so I'm going to go longer, okay? And next week when I'm at Pineland, this is my first sermon, so I'm going to go longer. And then the next Sunday, this is my installation. So I'm preaching my installation, so I'm going to go longer. And then the middle of September, like, I'll go shorter. I said, this is who you are. You are those people on the stands. And God is at the mountain. He pitches the ball to himself and he hits it and he puts it right in your hand. And you have the joy and gratitude and you walk out of there really moved by the fact that you received something that was entirely orchestrated by God. God hits, you catch, you rejoice. That's the church. That is what we do here. Over and over and over again. Here's another picture that I think may be helpful. There's two ways that people can enjoy a beach. If you're Kyle, you know what you do when you go to the beach? You go out as far as you can and then you swim like you're training for some kind of marathon. You're like, I don't know where she is. She's probably over there by Hollywood right now. So she sees the water as a place to swim. Kids go to the beach, it's different. They go to the beach so that they can get in the waves and the waves can throw them over and over again. They don't go there to swim. They're going to be thrown by some powerful force. That's us, beloved, coming to church. We're coming here not because we're amazing, powerful swimmers. We're coming here because we want the ocean of the gospel to pick us up in our lightness and throw us around and walk away with joy saying God is acting upon us. And we are being acted upon. That is the power of what we do here. We are the acted upon. God is the actor. And that the power of that compels us to live our Christian life. That's what we're doing here. Beloved, if the church is not about that activity to you, and church would be a place to be smart. Some of you like to teach. I'm a Bible teacher. I like to teach the Bible. And I enjoy church because I teach the Bible. Some of you like to serve and volunteer. Some of you like to give. And some of you, you know, some of you are just social. Like, I like my friends here. Beloved, if that's why you're here, this is what's going to happen to you. Social life, intellectual life, Bible life, serving life will be disrupted. And guess what? You're gone. You're gone. And then you will search for the next place where you can kind of scratch that itch. But beloved, if church is a place where we are primarily in the stands, seeing God pitch to himself and whack it to us, and we respond, if that's the primary thing, then we can walk through all the ins and outs, all the ups and downs, and all of the difficulties that go on in church, because we're here to be acted upon, not to become some impressive actors. And you know what, beloved? By God's grace, this is what we have done here. Whether it was through the book of Galatians, whether it was through Ruth, Philippians, Genesis, the Reform series, the Acts series, the Revelation series, the Attributes of God series, Jonah, we've baptized 15 people. Why do we put water on 15 people? Because water points to grace. You know how many meals we serve here of the Lord's table? 255. Why did we serve 255 meals, put water on 15 people? Wait, hold on. 255 meals, which means 255 sermons. You know how many songs we've sang since we've been here about Jesus? 5,840. 5,840. So why have we had 255 grace meals, 15 water, grace moments, and 5840 and 50 songs? Why? Because that's what we are here for, to experience grace over and over and over in as many ways as possible. Now, Zion is a place where we contemplate your faithful love, your name, your praises, your right hand, your judgments. Here's the last point I have, and it may not be that long. What is the ministry of this place? I should say a ministry of this place, not the ministry, but a ministry. What are we looking for? What is the goal? What is one of our goals? Look, it says in verse 12. Go around Zion and circle it. Count its towers. Note its ramparts. Tour its citadels so you can tell a future generation. This God, our God, forever and ever, he will always lead us. So again, this is a very vivid picture. So God is saying, there's a future generation that needs to know God and carry on the torch of this covenant people thing. And the way that's gonna happen is if we in Mount Zion are touring and regularly going back to take a tour again of all the things that stabilize. Look at the ramparts. Look at the citadels. Now, obviously, we said that's talking about God and his grace and his actions. Now, when we read this text, reread this text like a 21st century evangelical Christian. Now, what I mean by that is we read this and it says, so you can tell a future generation, and we say, we gotta do evangelism to the community. And that is not any way, shape, or form untrue, but not at all the point of this text. God is saying, listen, I got a thing with you believers here, but guess what? I got a thing with the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. I'm not just about you and your personal thing with me. I am a God who is rescuing the generations to come and you. It doesn't always happen, but he's saying that Mount Zion is a place where we get fixated on the things of God's powerful grace. And that is the way that this covenant thing goes beyond us to our kids and our kids' kids and our kids' kids' kids and our kids' kids' kids. Now, you know what I think is interesting? I think we do so much church just because of the people here right now. Everything's about how we get more money more right now, how we get more attendance right now, how do we get more this right now. And we don't think, how do we do church in such a way that is conscious of the next 100, 200 years of generations? And this is exactly what this text is saying. It's not just about you. It's not just about the persons around you, but it's also those little things that are little people that are attached to you and those who will be attached to them. God is a cosmic God and he is a multi-generational God and he's always been that. And so here's a question. How is it that I ask a list for every name because I will forget. How is it that Kyron, Pepper, Christian, Samantha, Joshua, Christopher, Angeli, Matthew. That sounds right. Alani. That's spelled wrong. Sorry. Adeline, Elizabeth, Jane, Adonias, Abriella, Elias, Nicholas, Jeremy, Kaylee, Joanna, Jamila, Miabella, and Amelia, Giansi, Josiah, and Julian. How are these people going to be the covenant community that follows us? Because this is what this text is saying. Let me tell you how it's not going to be. It's not going to be by having a great youth group. Is that what the text says? Hey, have a fun place where people can do ping pong. Yeah, that'll keep them. It's not going to be by having a homeschool revolution movement in the church. That's not what it says. Aldo, you pick on homeschoolers. No, I pick on the homeschool movement as something that says this is what it means to be a Christian. I think homeschooling is a good idea. So far as you're not us, because we just different, all right? It's not going to be by becoming a bunch of politicized Christians who are quoting all the modern hashtags. BLM, Trump 2020. That's not going to be what brings your kids to know God and carry the torch. That's not what is said here. It's not going to be by raising our kids to be offended by everything like everybody else. You know what our generation is? We're offended by everything all the time. You hurt my feelings. That's not going to be how this covenant thing goes on and on. It's not going to be by any of these things. It's not going to be by us having VeggieTale Christianity. Hey kids, don't use drugs. Hey kids, don't do anything with people before you're married. Hey kids. It's not going to be also, parents, let me talk to you, by you secluding and hiding your kids and being a helicopter parents. That is not what was said. Some of us think, this is the gospel. No, that's you. What is it that will make Reconcile Now Pinelands to be a place where God is being known to those attached to us and those attached to us and those attached to us? How does God's thing keep going on in a multi-generational sense and not just a us now sense? Let's read it again. No, sorry. Go around Zion encircle and count its towers. Notice ramparts towards citadel so that you can tell a future generation. The way that we are a multi-generational community that at last and passes the torch is by being gospel obsessed and taking gospel tours everywhere in the city. Guess what? When those little people are in there, they're taking a tour of God's citadels. We're not just telling them to be nice people. We're not telling them to be Republicans. We're not telling them to be, you know, Marxists. We are telling them to be in Christ. When you're at home, you're not just there to make your kids nice little obedient moralists who don't fall off a tree someday. You're in the house because it's your job to circle the ramparts, count its towers, and to inundate and suffocate your kids with all these things that bring them to have a confidence in their potential Savior who said he likes to work through families. Gospel everywhere. We are just taking these regular tours in the power of the gospel, and that is the only thing that will keep a people being a people as the generations go on. Anything else does not work. I was talking to someone, it's like, you know, oh, the reason why we're losing our kids, you know, it's because of the sexuality conversation and the gender conversation and all the curse words and all of the, you know, the lack of morals. That's not why people are leaving the church. It's because there's no gospel. When Christianity is a bunch of self-help, you can do it. Your kids will leave it because there's nothing to stay. Listen, if church is just a bunch of people knowing what's right, then Israel would not have been exiled a million times. They had the law given to them by God's mouth. The only solution is I will write my law on their hearts and they will all know me by the power of Christ being the one-way lover who lives their life, dies their death, is crucified, buried, and raised, and you make your kids swim in that ocean over and over. You say, I don't see anything yet. It doesn't matter. It's still... Take the tours. So what is a church? It's a place to be. The center of the place is God himself. It is a permanent place. It's a place where all these things happen, where the devil puts us in all sorts of corners and God just shows up and saves the day. It's a place where we regularly encounter God's one-way promises. And it's a place where the torch is passed. Beloved, I want to encourage all of you, do not overlook the fact that God has said that he likes to work through people like you who have little sinners like you. This is what a church is. This is what a church does. And this is what I hope that we continue to enjoy with the P logo, the green and blue colors. It doesn't matter, beloved. This is what we're about. Right? Can we commit to be about these things that are much bigger than anything else together? Can we? Can we get over our R? Can we get over our location? Can we get over, you know, everything that can we just stay stuck in these things which really make a church what a church is? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Mount Zion is not just a reference to some geographic place a long time ago, but it is the place power, grace, fellowship, and love that comes from you to us. Father, would you help us to, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing and who we're doing it with, for us to be about these essential things. And may as we be the church that is focused on the power of God's covenant grace, may we experience these things as you as a stronghold, God. May you preserve the generations to come and the generations to come. And may in 200 years, the ministry of Pinelands Presbyterian Church be felt by a generation. You are so much bigger than us right now. You are so much bigger than us right now in our 80 years of faith, God. Would you help us to keep making those tours and all of those places of gospel stability so the generations that come may know. Amen.
That concludes our message, and we hope that you were inspired by it. If you'd like to hear more about the gospel or find out more about Reconciled Church Miami, please connect with us using one of the ways listed on our website. reconcilechurchmiami.org.